pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from The New York Times, Washington Post, The News and Observer, and Popular Science. On today's program, we'll start with an article from The New York Times titled, I Took My Dog to a Psychic. I Think It Might Actually Have Worked, by Anne-Marie Conte. When I look into my dog's soulful brown eyes, it's hard to know what he's thinking about me. Buddy is a near constant presence in my life, following me from room to room, lingering underfoot in the kitchen, and cuddling on the couch as I brain rot on reality TV. I wonder if he's not so silently judging me when he sighs and tosses me some side eye. Is he actually happy here? Does he even like me? Thanks to Nina Luxazin, a vet tech turned pet communicator, now I know, or at least now I think I know. You're always so happy and trying to stay so positive. He really loves that about you, she said in our 30-minute Zoom session, during which she acted as a conduit between Buddy's thoughts and feelings and my innumerable questions about his health and mental well-being. You don't let people take advantage of you. You're a tough cookie. Oh, well then, maybe he has been paying attention. I first became interested in seeing an animal communicator after I listened to an episode of Rachel Dratch's Woo Woo podcast on the topic. Then I mentioned it to a coworker who told me he'd recently attended a session with Luxazin and had a great experience. When the New York Times style section wrote a story about animal communicators being a TikTok trend, I knew it was officially in the zeitgeist. I really wanted to better understand my relationship with Buddy and how he thought his life could be improved. During the video call with Luxazin, Buddy had some wild requests like, I want to ride on a big boat. What? We are not boat people. Have I been watching too much Below Deck around him? But then there were also modest suggestions, such as, I'd like a bully stick by the fireplace before I die. This tracks completely. In his early days with us, he would resource guard high-value treats like bully sticks and hooves, so we stopped giving them to him. Luxazin sent me a video recording of our time together, and I reviewed it to make a list of Buddy's most attainable wants and needs. Then, to ensure my plan for fulfilling my guy's biggest wishes was sound, I consulted with writer Mel Plout, Wirecutter's pets expert, Gia Sovoci, a dog behaviorist who goes by @thinkingcanine online, and Megan Petroff, a doctor of veterinary medicine, who's the director of behavioral medicine service at Gold Coast Center for Veterinary Care. Here's how it went. Buddy wants to work hard and play hard. Buddy is usually pretty happy to chill on the couch, snuggling in deep to next whichever emotional support human is sitting there. Apparently, sleeping 16 hours a day is an excellent way to recharge his social battery, because he told us he needs a bit more mental stimulation than we've been giving him. He's been whining in the late afternoon and evening, prompting us for an evening walk with extra sniffs. Although we've been walking him more, we've also been playing with him less. Buddy, who's approximately 8 to 10 years old, is not as puppy-like as he once was, though he's still quite spry, and for the record, he told us he feels like he's 5. I asked Buddy if Buddy was happy with the toys we've given him. It doesn't feel like he's too big on toys, but he does say that he likes anything that he can really use his teeth and kind of pull. But he's not showing me, like, stuffies or anything. He wants, like, to rip open or, like, squeakies or anything, Luxazin said. He's just saying he wants something sturdy that he can play tug with. This was a great idea. Adding a game of tug into the mix was a good bonding experience for Buddy and for the adults in the household, since he doesn't resource guard his toys. Petroff offered a word of caution. We want to make sure any items that we give, we safely get back, she said. Trading up for some treats is a good way to end the game when you're ready. When it comes to a tug toy, you don't need anything super fancy. To just have an area for you to hold on to and one for the dog to hold on to. There should be sufficient space in between your hands and the dog's mouth to avoid accidents, says behaviorist Savochi. Game of tug turned out to be a lovely midday break for both of us. Afterward, I put the toy away to preserve its role as a special bonding activity and to prevent Buddy from ripping it apart when we're not playing, an idea Savochi endorsed. Outside of playtime, Buddy asked for a job. He really likes to work. He likes to learn, and this doesn't happen often. Luxazin said, ouch. He was specifically looking to do more tricks, but he didn't want to overextend himself. He doesn't want to do it for more than 5 and 10 minutes. So I think if you just do like a quick training session with him, Luxazin advised. Buddy arrived to us in 2019, knowing a halfway sit and stay, so we were fairly certain he'd been in a home previously, which he confirmed via Luke's in during our session. We taught him a semi-accurate paw, a fantastic weight, and a solid go-to-your-bed, which he does resentfully when we banish him from family dinner time for being annoying. Emboldened by his smarts, I ambitiously decided to teach this guy even more tricks, starting with using a doorbell. Since I have a hard time differentiating his whines for food from his whines for playtime or pee break, I ordered a set of Blue Tree dog doorbells with the idea that Betty could tap them whenever he wanted to go outside. This is great for a dog's sense of agency, but terrible if you have a nooge of a poop who will be ringing the bells at 3 a.m. for funsies. The set is basically some jingle bells attached to a loop of nylon, which you hang over the door and teach your dog to ring when he needs a bathroom break. I started gently introducing the bells to him with a positive yes and treat every time he interacted with them. But I think the sound freaks him out and he's not yet convinced of their value. However, the process of having a goal to work toward has been really valuable for both of us, and we'll keep trying. He has some thoughts about how to greet guests like a good boy. When I asked the communicator about how we can make visitors feel more welcome, Buddy suggested to ask the guest to interact with him and give him a command. Dogs can exhibit a variety of behaviors when someone comes to the door: barking, jumping, running in circles. It's important to understand what's actually going on, said Savochi, the dog behaviorist. Jumping can be friendly or it can be a stress behavior, she said. So the kind of jumping friendly is like, I'm jumping, but I'm not completely wild, and I'm sticking around, and I want to be pet, and I want to sit with this person, and I know this person, so I'm excited. The jumping that's stressed is like, I'm jumping like a maniac, I'm ricocheting off the person and spinning. It was reassuring to me that Buddy's particular brand of jumping is friendly rather than stressed. So Vochi and Petrov suggested that instead of putting the onus on our guests, we could redirect Buddy by putting him on a leash or by sending him to his place with an occupying toy or treat to help calm the situation. All three experts I spoke to like the Woof Pupsicle because it's a toy and a treat, and it can be stuffed with pre-made balls or treat mix that Woof sells. Once the visitor is inside, the situation is calm, then you can invite the dog to interact. My biggest challenge has been taking a moment to send Buddy to his place before flinging the door open for our guests. But whenever I do this, this works. I send him to his place, put him in a wait, and then release him once the person is inside. He greets the visitor much more calmly, and I find myself apologizing a lot less. We use the Majestic Petsway Bagel Dog Bed, a top pick, as Buddy's place, though some people and dogs prefer to use a crate. He demands better mealtimes and snacks. Dumping some kibble in a bowl and not thinking twice about it used to be the standard. Now there are myriad options for what and how you feed your dog, including kibble toppers, delivered frozen food, and homemade meals, served in a variety of ways: regular bowl, slow feeder bowl, puzzle feeder bowl, lick mat, and beyond. I asked how Buddy felt about his food situation. First, he asked us to put a non-slip surface under his bowl to prevent him from sliding on the floor when he eats. One rubber-backed rug coming up, easy enough. What else, my man? Buddy said his kibble is great, but our overall approach could use a tweak. For breakfast, our fine sir would like gravy added to his kibble. Regular gravy can be high in salt and fat, so it's not good for dogs. Instead, Mel suggests Brutus on the Go packs. They contain bone broth made specifically for dogs, and they come in a variety of flavors in powdered form. I made a chicken bone broth without onions to top his food, and he happily slurped it up. When we first adopted Buddy, we used a slow feeder bowl to prevent him from wolfing his meals. But now he's more of a sniff and walk away type of guy. So I switched to a standard stainless steel bowl. For dinner, he asked for puzzles, but not too hard. This is another bonding point. Neither of us will ever do the Saturday crossword. Mel suggests sprinkling the evening kibble and the Paw 5 Woolly Snuffle Mat. Buddy is definitely a Hoover type of dog, constantly sniffing and vacuuming up crumbs. So he immediately took to the snuffle mat. We embedded his kibble throughout, and I could practically see his brain working overtime, as he would, true to the mat's name, snuffle and sniff and chomp up his meal. This guy also had a specific request for midday snack time: peanut butter or spray cheese in a slow feeder bowl. After discussing with Savachi, I adapted that request to the Soda Pup E-Mat Enrichment Lick Mat, filled with cottage cheese. I like to use cottage cheese because most dogs like the flavor. Plus, the protein content is very high and fat content low. I chose a mat with suction cups on the bottom to prevent it from slipping around. The suction cups are also helpful if I need to smear the mat with peanut butter and stick it to the bathroom wall to keep Buddy distracted during shower time. He wants to buckle up for safety. It turns out that despite his often lazy ways, my pooch loves adventure. From lying in the grass under the sun, to romping through the woods on a hike, to swimming at a dog-friendly beach. But Dude gets a little stressed in the car, and that can make driving a challenge. He's often wedged between my two kids, and he will lick or pant his way through a road trip. He said he wants to feel safe, which is good not only for him, but for the whole family. And the fact that it's crucial for your animal to be secured in the event of a crash. Your 50-pound dog could turn into a projectile and kill you, behaviorist Savochi said. The safest thing is to restrain your pets in the back of the vehicle, either on the back seat or the rear floor, or in the SUV's cargo area. As much as you may want them near you, they shouldn't ride shotgun. Airbags can also injure an animal. I own both a sedan with a bench seat and a van with captain's chairs, so I need multiple solutions. But he is too big for a crash-tested carrier, so I started with a crash test harness, which is designed to be used with your car's seatbelt. But he has a 28-inch chest, which puts him right at the top range for the medium-sized harness. Yet this harness had plenty of space to adjust to fit him in. I watched all the instruction videos on the company's website, and it streamed straight forward in theory, but it took some practice. To make sure Buddy was sitting in the correct position in the car so we could buckle him, we had to do a little coaxing with kind words and treats. But we got there, and he settled down enough to get comfortable. For longer car trips, the inflatable Diggs Adventure Travel Kennel fit the bill. Diggs sent me a medium-sized crate, and it was quick to inflate using the accessory. Left the crate inflated in our house for a couple of days, occasionally tossing treats inside for Buddy to retrieve, before installing it in the van to take a quick ride around the block. He took to it almost immediately, lying down and chilling with no whining. By our third trip, I no longer needed to lift him into the crate because he willingly jumped inside for a ride. My main caution with the crate in the back of the car is make sure your dog has enough airflow back there, especially in warmer months. The only downside is the crate takes up a fair bit of cargo area, so we all have to pack less to accommodate it. But I like that it uninstalls and deflates quickly and stores with a relatively small footprint, making it easy to set aside when Buddy isn't with us. I know there are a lot of psychic skeptics out there, but I went into this experience with an open mind. In the end, it helped to further build my relationship with my dog, and that's a real win. Buddy's desires aren't so different from my own. Safety and security, good food, and a sense of fulfillment in a daily routine. It's been fun trying new things with him, seeing how he reacts and getting a better understanding of who he is and what he likes. But regarding his desire to ride on a big boat, I think he's going to have to wait for the inevitable Below Deck Dog Edition spinoff. Next, we'll move on to the Washington Post. How AI is helping and possibly harming our pets, by Sydney Page. While Sandeep Sadhu is busy with work, a companion robot plays fetch with his mini golden doodle, Simba. The robot, named Oro, feeds, supervises, trains, and entertains Simba, all while studying his behavior and getting to know him better with every interaction. He's a great companion for Simba, says Sadhu, who runs a construction company and is based in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Dog nannies like Oro could soon become a staple among modern pet owners, as artificial intelligence advances at a remarkable rate, revolutionizing various industries, including the pet space. There are now popular AI-powered pet cameras that dispense treats, smart collars with disease detection capabilities, and translators that can allegedly turn a cat's meow into human language. Americans spent $147 billion on their furry friends in 2023, up significantly from around $90 billion in 2018, according to the American Pet Products Association. By 2030, the global pet industry is projected to reach nearly $500 billion. Machine learning, a subset of AI that enables machines to absorb information and improve accuracy, is at the forefront of the latest pet tech innovations. Although many new pet products show promise for improving health, safety, and quality of life, AI is fraught with possible dangers. Beyond privacy and ethical concerns, experts caution advanced technologies could splinter the cherished bond between humans and animals. It's going to be interesting to see whether AI complements our pet ownership or replaces it, says Lionel Robert, a robotics professor at the University of Michigan. There's a huge potential, but there's also equally huge risk. Shifting to smart accessories. When Melanie Rigdon saw a social media post about Pet Place, smart GPS-enabled collar that tracks calories burned, sleep quality, stress level, temperature, respiration, pulse, and other biometrics. She bought one for her mini Australian Labradoodle Ruby. One of the big things that is always on top of mind for me is her health and wellness. I'm just doing everything I can to be proactive about this as she gets older, says Rigdon, 35, who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. I treat her as my child. Asif Dagan, PetPace's chief scientist, started the company in 2012 while working as a veterinarian. He saw countless cases of owners bringing in their pets, only to discover that they were riddled with health problems that were past the point of treating. It was always frustrating for me to give the owners the bad news, Dagan said. Veterinarians and pet owners share this pain point, which is that pets don't tell us how they feel. If anything, it is animal instinct to hide symptoms. Since the smart collar measures various metrics that would be likely irregular if a dog or cat were ill, we can catch the earliest times when these numbers begin to become abnormal, Dagan explained, noting that his device has a more than 90% accuracy rate. It uses machine learning to personalize the collar to each pet. We create what we call a biometric profile of the pet. If they deviate from it, this is an indication that what we see today is an early change from being healthy to becoming sick, he said. The wearable device and its accompanying app aren't designed to replace the role of a veterinarian or share data with outside vendors. Rather, the collar is intended to catch signs of illness early, thereby preventing costly emergency room visits and unnecessary in-person appointments. The same is true for TT Care, a healthcare app for pets. Owners can upload pictures of their dog's or cat's eyes, skin, teeth, and joints, and within 1 minute, they will receive an AI analysis of their pet's possible condition. The app, which was created in partnership with veterinary colleges in the United States and South Korea, claims to have a 93% accuracy rate. Once a pet parent snaps a photo, that image is now being analyzed to understand what type of clinical signs are detected as a benchmark against the 2.5 million images we have in our database, said Eric Pai, chief business officer at AI for Pet, the creator of TT Care. A pet parent can now have the summary, and they can also share that with their veterinarian. Pet owners have become increasingly vigilant about monitoring their pets, not just their health, but their everyday lives. There's a smartphone app that analyzes canine poop, alerting pet parents to possible digestive issues, for an instance. Robotic surveillance cameras have surged in popularity, particularly since return-to-office mandates began. PetCube has emerged as a popular pet security camera company, selling AI cameras with two-way audio, sound and motion alerts, as well as more sophisticated models with a treat dispenser and a laser toy. Upcoming models will be programmed to alert owners to hazards such as fires or broken glass. We want to help owners understand their pets better, says Alex Neskin, the co-founder and chief technology officer of PetCube, which recently introduced a feature called Daily Diary, giving pet owners a play-by-play of everything their animal did, from jumping on a table to chewing on shoes while they were out. I think AI can spot things that humans cannot, Neskin said. Machine learning and instant translation. While smart feeders and collars have become relatively commonplace, more unusual pet technology is emerging. Translators. Meow Talk, an AI-powered cat translator app, has been downloaded more than 22 million times worldwide since its launch in 2020. The AI-powered program is trained through a broad data set of cat vocalizations, which have been labeled by veterinarians. The app analyzes and interprets cat meows, equating the sounds with human language. We want to give your cat a voice and strengthen the bond between cats and humans, says Olivia Cole, Meow Talk's director of marketing. Cole used the app with her own cat, Felix. It translated her cat's meow to mean "I'm in pain," she said, shortly after the cat was diagnosed with cancer and is now in remission. It's mind-blowing, Cole said. There are several intents that are universal across cats. I'm hungry, I love you, I'm angry. However, every cat has a different language. We encourage users to train our app to help it understand their cat specifically. Khan Slobodchikov, an animal behaviorist and conservation biologist, is skeptical of programs like Meow Talk, which rely on insight from humans to designate what the meows mean. How accurate are the humans? Slobodchikov asked. That's a problem that I see with human-trained systems. After spending 30 years decoding the language of prairie dogs, Slobodchikov wrote an upcoming book called How to Talk to Your Dog. He's now working as the chief scientist on a dog translator called Zoolingua. Unlike Meow Talk, Slobodchikov said, Zoolinga software does not depend on animals to train it. The animals apparently do the job instead. What we want to do is take the signals that the dog are producing and then use those signals to train the algorithm, Slobodchikov said. Many dogs are misunderstood, Slobodchikov said, which can cause behavioral issues that lead people to surrender their pets to overpopulated shelters. Slobodchikov believes Zoolingua, which should launch within the next 2 years, can prevent that. What we're trying to do is help people develop a more personal, more loving, more understanding relationship with their dog, he said. Ultimately, we would come to respect animals more. Robot dog sitters. People seem to be even more uncertain of robot guardians and dog walkers than they are of translators. If a person feels a need for a robot to take care of their pet, then perhaps the person shouldn't have a pet, said Gregory Burns, a neuroscientist and psychology professor at Emory University, who studied dogs' brains using an MRI scan. Dogs' evolutionary history is so intertwined with humans, it really does a disservice to put them with a robot. Yet hundreds of people have already pre-ordered an Oro to look after their pups. What Oro does is captures all the data, and it takes care of their feeding, their physical, mental, and emotional engagement, and it's all encapsulated in one single unit, says Divyay Bhutani, the founder and chief executive officer of Augment Robotics, Oro's parent company. Oro can navigate a home with ease, though it can't currently climb stairs, while tending to a dog's daily needs. If Oro notices that a dog seems sad or anxious, based on its body language, for example, the robot will play soothing music, initiate games, or toss treats. Owners can also remotely connect with their pets via video chat. The data collected by the robot is contained within the device itself, Bhutani said, and is only shareable with user consent. Those who have tested the robot says it simplifies pet ownership and ensures their dog is always in good company. There's something about the robot personality that was friendly and not intruding, says Raj Kual, who tested Oro on his 8-year-old poodle, Brady. The companionship element is vital for me. Animal experts aren't so sure. Philip Tedeschi, co-director of the Institute for Animal Sentience and Protection, and a professor at the University of Denver Graduate School of Social Work, is wary of advanced pet technology, namely translators and robotic companions. While he believes AI could have significant benefits for protecting wildlife and bolstering pet health, if taken too far, it could diminish the symbiotic connection between pet owners and animals. We might capture data that could serve a very functional or useful endeavor, but I think the downside is that it may actually make us less likely to meet each other's social and emotional needs, Tedeschi said, noting that humans and pets have mutually beneficial bonds. I can guarantee you that your dog would rather play with you than a robot. From my standpoint, technology takes some of the magic out of those relationships. Still, he noted, AI has powerful potential to improve animals' lives, if the well-being of our pet is the priority. My distrust is not directed at the technology as much as it's directed at people, and whether human beings have the capacity to use it as in an ethical and moral manner, Tedeschi said. As we get the tools to learn more about animals, we need to be sure they're being used for the right reasons. Next, we'll move on to an article from the News and Observer, titled, No, Don't Leave Your Child or Pet in the Car, Even with the AC On, Here's Why, by Ronnie Butts. It was 91 degrees in Wake Forest on Tuesday, July 15th, but the temperature inside the car was over 140 degrees, and it likely taken less than an hour to get there. According to No Heat Stroke, the temperature in a vehicle in 90-degree weather can rise 35 degrees in 30 minutes. Even cars in 70-degree weather can reach 110 degrees in 45 minutes. Wake County and the town of Wake Forest held a community event at the Wake County Northern Regional Center on Tuesday on the danger of leaving children and pets in cars during the heat. Last year, 41 children in the United States died from heat stroke after being left in a car, a 41% increase from 2023. This year, 15 children, including one in North Carolina, have already died, according to Kids in Car Safety. A woman is accused of leaving a 7-month-old baby she was fostering in her car in June in Hamlet, which is between Charlotte and Fayetteville. Clarence Kinley, Wake County Animal Control Supervisor, said four animals died in hot cars last year. Two have already died this year. When can I safely leave a child or animal in the car? Never. No toddler, disabled person, or pet should ever be left in a vehicle in warm weather, or even in the winter, according to the National Weather Service. What if I roll down the window or leave the AC on? Diana Brown Diaz, a car seat technician at Wake County Health and Human Services, said rolling down a window doesn't help. Heat still gets trapped inside. Dark-colored cars and leather seats and dashboards get hotter faster. Don't count on air conditioning either. AC systems can malfunction, said Animal Services Director Jennifer Federico, and children can turn them off. In June 2024, a woman in Mecklenburg County was arrested for allegedly leaving her 8-year-old in the car while she went to work. She said she left the AC on, but the child had turned it off. In the summer months, Federico said, it also becomes harder for dogs like pugs, bulldogs, and Frenchies to breathe because of their nose structures. Down here in the South, there is no safe practice to leave your pet in a vehicle, she said. What should I do if I see a child or pet in a hot car? Children do not regulate their body temperature as well as adults. They also have less capacity to release heat by sweating, according to the Center on the Developing Child at Harvard. If you see a child or pet in a car, call 911 immediately. North Carolina law allows bystanders to forcibly enter a vehicle to remove a child from a car. After you call the police, Federico said, ask store employees to make an announcement alerting shoppers. What does the law say about leaving a pet in the car? I'm sorry, leaving a child in the car. North Carolina does not have a law against leaving children in cars, but those who do may be charged with offenses like child abuse and involuntary manslaughter. How can I protect my pets? Leave them home, Federico said. Even outside of the vehicle, heat can negatively affect them. When walking dogs, Federico advises, place the backside of your hand on the ground. If it's too hot to hold your hand there, then it's too hot to walk your dog on it, she said. Instead, walk your dog on grass, buy boots to protect their paws, or walk them in the early morning or late evening. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.